You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rachel Van Lanningham, and, I have the honor of introducing our chapel speaker today. Our speaker, Shino, was born in Japan and raised in Hawaii. As the fourth child of a Japanese-speaking pastor's daughter, she's been blessed to watch and learn from various women and men to follow Jesus. She especially enjoys seeing the next generation of leaders be trained, equipped, and developed so that they can continue to lean into what God is calling them to do. Shino has served in higher education for the past 27 years in various roles and continues to enjoy her time with students. I met Shino in 2022 at a retreat for new professionals working in student life. She was one of the leaders of the retreat and quickly became a favorite of myself and my friends who also attended the retreat. Shino is so inspiring to me as a female professional, and I'm so excited to hear what she has to say to all of us today. So would you all join me in welcoming our chapel speaker, my friend, Shino.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning, good morning. Well, it is so good to be with all of you this morning. I flew in from California, so that's home for me right now, and left my kids and my husband to be here, but it is good to be with all of you. So worship, I don't take it for granted. I currently work at a non-faith-based institution, so this isn't something I get to do on a regular basis. And so it was good to be ushered into the posture of worship. So thank you, worship band, for helping me to gather my scattered senses. I am sure all of you are coming from different places. Some of you are so excited about what God is doing in your life and you're ready to go and to receive, right? And some of you may be entering into this space tired already, only a month into school and you're exhausted. And you are maybe burdened with something that you weren't expecting. But regardless of where you are coming from, I hope and pray that God will meet you right here this morning, and that he will give you exactly what you need. I have no idea what he is going to do for you, but I pray that God will meet you. So let me pray before we get started. God, although we are coming from a variety of places and headspaces, we desire to meet you this morning and receive what you have for us. So thank you for being in our midst, and may these words of my mouth and my meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So, when I think about what I get to do as my job, I am so grateful because I love working with college students, whether they are in undergraduate studies or graduate studies. Currently, I work with graduate students, but I've been doing this for the last almost 30 years. And a lot has changed, trust me. And those of you who are in this space, who's been doing this work for a while, you know a lot has changed. So simple things like when I was an RD and I used to be on call, we didn't have cell phones. We had this little box thing called pagers, and that was like advanced. Do you guys even know what pagers are? Yeah, good. I'm glad you know what they are. If you don't know what it is, Google it. I mean, the fact that you could even Google is crazy. Or even posters. I saw all the beautiful slides, even this. You know, I don't know if you made it with Canva, but we had to rip out like a big poster, butcher paper, and write it with markers. And if you made a mistake, you had to do it again and plaster those things all around campus. That's how we communicated with our students. Yes, I did not throw pigeons and send pigeons across campus or anything, so I'm not that old. But things have changed, right? And when I think about my journey, the thing that hasn't changed for me is the fact that I love this generation. And that college students are going through a lot of different things. And when I think about all of you, my hope and prayer hasn't changed. which means that I've always wanted for you to wrestle through these three questions. Who am I? But in reality, whose am I, right? And what is God calling me to do, knowing those things? So maybe some of you have been wrestling through this, especially seniors. I hope you are wrestling through this because you're getting out of here soon. But maybe for some of you, you never really thought about who am I when I think about what I am going to do. But regardless, all of you are here at this institution because you are, directly or indirectly, thinking through these things. Where is God calling you, right? And through the journey of figuring out where is God calling you, you are also figuring out, who am I? Like, what do I want to be about? So when I think about my own life, I have come to realize that I have gone through a lot of different stages and a lot of different seasons that helped me to shape who I am today. And believe it or not, as a 51-year-old woman standing in front of you, I still wrestle through these questions. Maybe my answers are a little more refined than it used to be when I was in my 20s, but I am still thinking about and also reminding myself about who am I, whose am I, and what am I doing, knowing those things. So let's take the first question, who am I? Knowing who you are is knowing your identity, right? So if someone were to ask me, who are you? I probably would start off saying, I'm a consultant, or I'm currently serving as a dean of students at my institution, so I might say, I'm a dean of students. Or depending on who I'm talking to, I am a mom of two amazing kids, by the way. Or I'm a wife, a daughter, a friend, Christ follower, right? So if I were to ask you to turn to the person next to you and to say who you are, what would you say? Think about what you would say. I know for many of us, when we share who we are, we tend to share what we do. And our identity is tied with people's expectations about who we ought to be, or we feel this pressure to become someone that they are expecting you to be, or what you do for others, right? So we also tend to assess our own satisfaction about our identity based on people's reactions and your own performances. Do you find your identity in being a student? Perhaps, hopefully, a good student, right? Based on your grades? Or do you find your identity based on what you do on this campus? So if you're an RA, do you find your identity as an RA? If you are serving as a worship leader, do you find your identity as a worship leader or an athlete or whatever it may be? And for some of you, it may be based on what you do for others, right? You love helping people, but it's really based on the fact that people need you or people want you. And so we tend to kind of rely on those things to define our identity. But don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with doing these things, right? Getting good grades, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a mom, I want my kids to get good grades, you know? Or being an amazing athlete and winning, that's not bad. Or serving on your campus, there's nothing wrong with that. But it becomes an issue when these things become the foundation of your identity. How many of you have seen the movie Encanto? Yes? Good. And if you have not, you got to go watch it because you won't understand what the heck I'm talking about. But this family, Madrigal family, lives in this magical house. And family members, the kids, or actually everyone, receives these magical powers when they hit a certain age. And the main character, Maribel, she's the only one that doesn't get these magical powers. For me, when I watched that movie, I actually really felt a connection with the older sister, the oldest sister, Luisa. She believed that her worth was based on carrying everyone else's weight, helping others, responding to people's needs and expectations. and she was weary, and the pressure was getting to her. But she kept on doing it because that was her identity. Her worth was based on what she can do, and it was not based on who she was. And although no one is expecting me to carry everyone else's weight, or no one's expecting me to carry my own weight all by myself, for some reason, I always put that pressure on myself, this unrealistic, unhealthy expectation that I needed to do it all, and not crack, and not break. What you do is a part of who we are, or what you, who you are, but your entire identity, my entire identity, can't be that. But it needs to be based on who God is. So when I take the time I need to breathe and to slow down and to really enter into the space that God is calling me, then I am reminded who I am in Christ. Then I have the capacity to remember my true identity. So the second question, whose am I? This is an important one. As believers, we need to remember that our identity is based on who God is, and it does not depend on us or what we do. God created us, and God is calling us, and we can remain grounded by having faith in who God is. This past Sunday, I was at church, and my pastor at church said this, that our identities are like onions. We have layers. One layer can be based on our profession, so for all of you, it might be being a student, right? Another layer could be based on your race, your ethnicity, nationalities, or perhaps your personality or the role that you play, so a daughter or siblings or whatever it may be. But regardless, these are just layers, right? And we all have different layers, but as believers, it is important for us to remember and know that the core of our identity, and actually people's identity, is the same. Our foundation is the same. We need to remember that our core identity starts with God's grace. It's stated in Romans 12:3 that it is by grace God freely gave. It is not based on what we do or our merit. It is simply based on God's grace and the love he has for us. We need our identity to start right there, and we also need to lean into what God says through Scripture about who we are. When it comes to knowing who we are, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, gives us a lot to ponder on. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us." So Paul says we are chosen, we are to be holy, we are to be blameless. God invited us to be part of his family by calling us the adopted. He reminds us that we are forgiven and that we are heirs of his inheritance and that we are marked and that we are redeemed because of God. Paul calls us these things because of Jesus and what he did for us in him. We are called to be these things. These identities are given to us because of Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul drives the concept of in him, in Christ, over and over. He actually repeats it over 30 times. Our identity must be in Christ. And if it is not, we will always feel like something is missing because we were created to know who we are based on whose we are. Our identity is established in relation to who God is. In order for us to have a deeper understanding of ourselves, we must look to Jesus, right? The more we know Jesus, we will know what it means to be called his beloved, or to be adopted, or to be marked and redeemed. As you wrestle with the question, whose am I? My hope for all of you and for all of us is to truly dive into knowing Jesus more every day. That we would seek Jesus and we would embrace all the names God has given us. And knowing whose you are will lead you to a posture of responding. So the last question, what am I supposed to do knowing who I am and whose I am? This process of discerning what God is calling us to do is about us surrendering. It is so hard to surrender, but that's what he is calling us to do, so that he can do his work through us. This idea of surrendering requires us to give everything and every part of who we are to God. The idea of surrendering isn't just a one-time deal. When you said, I believe in Jesus and cross that line of faith, it's not just that, right? But it is for us to do it every day. It says in Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This passage is challenging us to surrender daily and give everything, and even the very thing that you might love the most. And we must do this if we are going to be on this journey of becoming who God is calling us to be. And although this idea of daily surrendering seems too difficult at times, the great thing is God is already at work, and he doesn't need us, but because we are willing to surrender, and because God is gracious and he is kind, he is willing to invite you into this space. Again, he doesn't have to, but he loves us so much that he is inviting us. Mark Batterson, a pastor and an author, said this in his book. We want to do amazing things for God, but that isn't our job. Our job is to consecrate ourselves to God, then God does amazing things for us. When we surrender and embrace our identity in Jesus, God also makes us different. He sets us apart. When you surrender, you should experience a transformation that is internal, that can be seen and experienced externally by others. When we truly embrace Jesus, we will be set apart. Our lives should be marked by Jesus and his love, his compassion, his kindness, and his grace. So have you noticed how broken our world is? Oh my goodness, when you look at the whole thing that's going down with the election, right? It is heartbreaking. I mean, it breaks my heart to know how divided we are. Or when I see what is happening around the world, around the globe, lives being taken every day because of wars that's happening. It's not just in Gaza, right? It's everywhere. It breaks my heart. And I am also saddened by the hurtful language and actions I see in our communities and our society, and even within our own Christian community, because people don't know how to truly engage with those who are different than us and to extend Jesus in spaces. As you engage with people, how will they see Jesus? The more you know Jesus, the more you remember who God called you to be, the clearer your identity will be. The more you know Jesus, you will understand how we need to stand for the marginalized. The more you know Jesus, you will know and have the ability to navigate the challenging situations with grace. The more you know Jesus, you will know his heart and will speak up against injustice and share the love of Christ to others. The more you know Jesus, and when your identity is actually in Christ, you will understand justice and become people who will hear the cries, believe the cries, and partners with the marginalized and make a difference. the more you understand the level of suffering Jesus went through on the cross and the power Jesus displayed when he conquered death, your understanding of these identities in Scripture will deepen and you will know how to live. We often do things to establish our identities, right? But when we really think about it, we have it backwards. What you do is defined by who you are, defined by your identity. So listen again. What you do does not define your identity, but your identity defines what you must do. Does that make sense? After you know your identity, after you understand whose you are, you will have a clear view of what you must do. In fact, my hope and prayer for you is that when you find your identity in Christ, you would not have the ability to just sit, but it will cause you to respond, that it will propel you towards the posture of responding to Jesus. It says in Ephesians that God made us and created us to do his good work. And the amazing thing is that God has gone before us, right? Everywhere. He is everywhere. And he is trying to invite you into specific spaces so that he could work through you. So we have work to do. And it doesn't start after you get your degree. So I know you are here trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life, right? But it doesn't start after you get your degree and you figure out what you are wanting to do with your career. In fact, you will see that God has prepared you for the work you need to do today. Whether it is in your residence hall or in your classroom or on campus through your formal or informal leadership positions, be ready to respond. I pray that your identity is deeply rooted in Christ and that your encounter with Jesus transforms you. I pray that you are marked by characteristics of Jesus because your identity is in Christ, and that you surrender daily, every day, and by knowing whose you are, that your path becomes clear. So as we end our time this morning, I wanted for us to pray this prayer together and center ourselves and ground our identity in Jesus, so that we know what we are supposed to do. So let's pray this prayer together. Okay, ready? I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to you. Glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. God, as we leave this place this morning, please remind us who we are in you. Help us to surrender ourselves to you daily, and help us to honor you by loving and serving others, especially those who are different than us, and those who may not know who you are. May we be your hands and feet to the world that needs you so desperately, Lord. I pray that you would be glorified because of our surrendering and because of our obedience to you today. So go before us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.